Prepare to Pivot is a series of conversations with Dr. Andrew Barnes, Dean of the School of the Arts, Communications, and Global Studies at York College of Pennsylvania. Dean Barnes talks with leaders in the college, YCP alums, and members of the York community about the importance of the liberal arts in preparing students to build careers where essential skills like critical and creative thinking, effective communications, and analytical reasoning make all the difference. And now, here's Dean Barnes.
Hello and welcome to this podcast. I am Andy Barnes, and I'm the Dean of the School of the Arts, Communication, and Global Studies at York College of Pennsylvania. Today, I'm talking with Brian Hazlett, who's the VP of Enrollment Management here at York College. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and I look forward to the conversation.
Well, hopefully it's a good conversation. If it's not, then we're in trouble. Really, in this podcast, I wanted to focus on how the liberal arts benefit STEM majors. Uh-huh. And by STEM, we mean students who are majoring in science, technology, engineering, and math. But also, we want to include students who are majoring in like education, some of the other pre-professional degrees. Before we get there, I thought that, Brian, you'd tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Be happy to.
What you majored in and how you got to where you are. And then we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah. I'm originally from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and picked a school out in Western PA called St. Francis College at the time. It's now St. Francis University. And I was a history major. So
a good liberal arts
Good liberal arts background there. It really taught me some of my core, traits that I use in my profession now. My job now is really uses a lot of data, and I use a lot of statistics and forecasting and things that I never thought I would do with a history degree, but it taught me those foundational things.
Because you had
things.
To learn how to research, right? You had
Absolutely.
To learn how to dig into the details.
Absolutely. Dr. Whistler, my advisor in my undergrad, I often contribute him to teaching me how to write. It was something when I entered college, I don't think I really truly knew how to write.
It's true for most people.
He spent the time to teach me that trait, but also to conduct research and how to make a point, but make a strategic point. Mm-hmm. So those are things that I think really were part of that core foundation that I got as part of a liberal arts degree.
It's funny that we tell students all the time. I tell students all the time. It doesn't matter what your major is. If you can learn to write well, mm-hmm. you're so far ahead of everybody mm-hmm. else. That's such an important skill, especially that we teach in the liberal arts.
Absolutely.
So you can see kind of a direct connection between your degree in history and liberal arts and how you ended up as a VP, which is a pretty good career.
Yeah, it's been a great career.
Did pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, it's a great career. I mean, I even link in, I think of my wife. My wife's a physician assistant, but went to the same college as I did for my undergrad. And a core group of the courses that we had to take, that she had to take were liberal arts.
Yeah.
And it taught her how to work with patients. It taught her how to communicate. Yeah. Write well, critically think through problems, things that, are key every day that she goes to work that she's using.
Yeah, that's one of the sort of keys to the liberal arts is that it teaches you what we used to call soft skills. We don't call them soft skills anymore. We're trying to call them essential skills.
Right.
But these essential skills like communications, like the ability to think critically, to think creatively, which are important regardless of what your major is, whether you're a liberal arts major or you're majoring in one of the STEM majors. Brian, you know my story, but I'll give it quickly again. I have a strange background because I have an undergraduate degree in accounting and I have a PhD in English literature and an MFA in creative writing. It's a strange thing, but I don't think my journey is so dislike many students' journeys because when I came to school, when I went to college, my parents insisted that I get a degree that would lead me to a job. Mm-hmm. Accounting gets you an accounting job. Mm-hmm. I was, however, not an accounting person. I was too much of an extrovert and too much of a creative person. But what happened in my undergraduate, I had to take all these liberal arts classes. And I remember I had an English professor who showed me English and kind of lit a spark in me. And I did go out after I graduated with an accounting degree. I went out in the world and I was in business world for about 10 years. But it was that spark that liberal arts professor kind of ignited in me that stayed with me. And then I went back. I knew I wasn't an accountant. I was a terrible accountant. It was pathetic. But it really, 10 years later, I went back and got my PhD in English and followed what my kind of passion was. Mm-hmm. That is this creative endeavor. But it helped me a lot. Accounting has helped me a lot as a dean, has helped me a lot in being an administrator, because I understand the business side. So I get that sort of the business side, that pre-professional and that liberal arts side, they can be a nice marriage. Mm-hmm. It can really kind of make you well-rounded and a much better kind of person and someone a better working to. So here we are in 2023 and we have students coming in, and they're all, mm-hmm. when I see the students come in, talk to them and their parents,
yep.
they're all looking for majors that are going to tie them, like my parents did, tie them directly to a job when they get mm-hmm, out of here. Mm-hmm. And I see that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you see that too when you talk to students and parents, that's what a lot of their focus is.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the high schools in our area that we serve and, you know, in the 90-mile radius of York College focus a lot on career ready.
Yeah.
As a component to their platform that they're offering at the high school. So yep. students do come out thinking, okay, how does this degree going to be directly connected
yeah.
to my career, you know, as they see it? So yeah. that is something that we do see quite often.
And do they ever talk about, or do you ever hear them talk about liberal arts? Or we also call liberal arts humanities, too. We've got a lot of things. Do they ever sort of talk about, or do they know what liberal arts are?
I think they do, but indirectly. So what mm-hmm. I would mean by that is that they don't necessarily come out and say liberal arts in a conversation, but they sure do hit on the key things that make up a liberal arts degree, things that are important to them, as we were earlier talking about, right. like how do I write well, or how do I communicate, or how do I critically think, yeah. you know, to solve this problem. You know, I do believe that those are things that students are, they're talking the language, but they're not realizing yeah. that they're talking the language of liberal arts.
Yeah, they don't know quite the language that we mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. grew, you and mm-hmm. I grew up, and we came up through college. You know, that this is interesting for me as a dean of a college of liberal arts, is that we know at the backside, that is when they graduate, mm-hmm. they need all these essential skills that mm-hmm. the liberal arts teaches. Mm-hmm. What we find is that on the front end, when I'm going to open houses and talking to people, mm-hmm. it's harder sell mm-hmm. the liberal arts. And that's always been kind of a struggle for us in the liberal arts to bridge that gap. And we see mm-hmm. that even in business surveys. Mm-hmm. That business leaders say when students come out of college, there's a skills gap. That is the mm-hmm. gap between what the hard skills are. Those are the skills you'll learn if you're a nurse or if you're mm-hmm. a business person. And those soft skills are essential skills. Those, you know, writing skills, communication skills. And it's that gap that most business people I talk to are concerned about. Mm-hmm. But they get students who are coming out and not being able to lead a group, a working group, not being able to talk to customers in a sort of coherent way. And we're trying to figure out a way in which we can teach students who come here the importance of the essential skills, the importance of the liberal arts. Do you have any sort of, I'm asking you to help me with my job, right? what would you give a suggestion for students or for someone like me who is talking to students when we're talking about the importance of these liberal arts? Because some students are so focused on, I must get this to get a job, but not looking at what's going to make a successful career for them
right.
over the
right.
long haul.
Yeah, I think students, I mean, they really have to kind of look at, you know, it's like peeling back an onion. It has a lot mm-hmm. of different layers. And how does it all, you know, come about as being made? And I think that's how students have to really look at the experience that they're about to ready to step into is, you know, how are they going to kind of bake the cake and put all yeah. those different elements together? And even whether if they're majoring in a STEM field or whether they're majoring in a true liberal arts passion yeah. area, they have to look at how do they put all those different skill sets together to be able to be marketable when they take that step, you know, across yeah. the stage and graduate. The gap, I would say, has even grown even more because of COVID, too. Is
oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, the skills to be able to communicate with their peers and to engage are things that a lot of our graduates that are entering the college now haven't had a lot of time to work on. You know, that's yeah. skills that you develop a little bit in high school and you start to then refine them when you go off to college. And I think your professors help with that and your faculty help with that. Yeah. But the gap is even wider now as the students have stepped foot on the campus. And we're seeing that, you know, especially with the students that we serve in our area. We have a large number of first generation college students here right. at the college. That's it's right. about 18%. you know, those students don't necessarily sometimes know the questions to ask or what the experience is going to be because they don't have that network that they can kind of rely on. But I would say that's the biggest challenge is that that gap has probably grown a little bit more than what we can close sometimes.
Well, it's interesting. There was there's an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education today or yesterday that did a survey of 17, 18-year-olds. And a large amount, like 25%, said they don't feel ready intellectually and emotionally to come to college because of COVID, because they missed those years where they're hopefully developing those intellectual and emotional maturities to come to college. And before I came to York, I was a professor of creative writing, and I taught online during COVID. And then I taught the first class that came on campus. And there was a huge difference in those freshmen who came on campus because they were not ready for college. You could see it. They were really great for the first 3 weeks, and then they disappeared.
It's true. It's true. I mean, we even see it when they come to visit the campus, you know, when students are looking at the school. You know, sometimes they don't even – they struggle to how to engage with our staff and have those conversations. And I think, you know, that's where really a liberal arts, you know, foundation – can help build some of those blocks back.
That's right.
That's really going to be key.
That's right. And when we talk about the liberal arts here at York, and most universities here in the United States, we're talking about something we call the general education. Mm-hmm. Here at York, we call it Gen Next. It was what we had penned it long before I got here. And that is a series of courses. You'll find this at any university. Mm-hmm. You take a number of courses that supplement your major and courses in the liberal arts, courses like writing that we certainly take here, and then courses that you can have in philosophy or history or other majors in the liberal arts. And the idea of general education is that you're supposed to get a breadth and depth of knowledge in these courses that will give you the essential skills. And what we notice and what I've noticed in my years as being a dean elsewhere is that students don't often see or cannot make the connection between the classes they have to take in their general education and the classes they're taking in their major. They kind of see it as, you know, oh, I have to take this class. Let's just check it off. And and one of my sort of challenges, and I think a challenge here at York too, anywhere, is how do we make or demonstrate that what you're learning in the liberal arts and the general education applies to your major, because oftentimes they seem just disparate. They seem just completely different. And I think that we do have a challenge in liberal arts to make these more relevant to students' experiences. And I think where we have to go in that regard is to do a lot more collaborations with like the schools of education, engineering, business, to start developing classes that combine those two disciplines. I came from an institution where we had a class called Writing and Architecture, where the first year writing class was combined with the first year architecture studio, and the same cohort took both classes at the same time, and content was shared in both classes. And I think that's what we have to start doing. But we know that in liberal arts that we have a challenge to make things more relevant because students don't see that. Why a philosophy class? Why do they have to take a philosophy class, for example? Yeah.
And I would argue it too. I mean, we have to stop making some assumptions as well, is that we can't assume that students are going to just enter the college understanding what the foundational courses are as part of a gen ed. So, you know, sometimes we make the assumption that, you know, a student's going to know what office hours are, for example, for a faculty member. They may not. And so we need to go a little bit above and beyond to kind of explain the importance, you know, build those connections and kind of, you know, connect the dots for students so that they can see the pathway. That's something that we see now all the time is that students come in and, you know, they'll say, well, why do I have to take this course? You know, especially like even with transfer students, you know, why do I need to take this course? I already know what I want to major in. And we'll explain to them that it's a foundation to getting you to the ultimate goal that you are looking to achieve. Yeah. And then they get a better sense of, okay, well, then it's worth that investment in this class. That's what students today are looking at.
That's right.
Higher ed is an investment. The family is looking at it as an investment. And if they're not seeing an ROI or a return on the investment, that's when they start to question, why are they doing the things that they're doing?
Yeah. And I think that's our challenge, is because traditionally as liberal arts people, we are liberal arts people. Our areas are inherently good. They're part of mm-hmm. culture. They're part of who we are. And we just made that assumption. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have to do a lot of work to demonstrate to students, not only students, but professors in other areas, mm-hmm. why we are important. We have to stop making the assumption that people understand our importance. Mm-hmm. And we have to start demonstrating. And that's something I want to do here is create a liberal arts that's more kind of an applied a humanities, where we're demonstrating why we are important and apply our knowledge to other disciplines and apply our knowledge to community here as mm-hmm. well. So we have to sort of reimagine what the liberal arts is mm-hmm. so that students go, yeah, I need that. That's something I need. So that I can be, you know, a leader, if I want to be a leader in business, if I want to sort of succeed in business, that I need these things. And that's a challenge for us to do mm-hmm. and not just make the assumption that, you know, you're an historian, right. I'm an English right. person. Right. Of course we're great people. Why not? That was a great conversation today, Brian. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on. And subsequent podcasts, I'd like to sort of bring you in and back and talk about sort of the history of liberal arts, what liberal arts mean, and also what it means to major in the liberal arts for people. So thanks for coming, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
All righty.
This program is produced in the studios of WVYC-FM, the voice of your college, and produced by WVYC radio station manager Jeffrey Schiffman. Join Dean Barnes monthly for these ongoing conversations about essential skills in the liberal arts.